Thursday was our scheduled time for the Clarksburg Mission, and I haven't been able to go for a while because of cross country, and several of you have been faithful to that ministry and been helping each month. So I was just hoping that someone would show up and someone would be here. So when I got here on Thursday, I told you the kids wanted to go be here at 4. Well, no one was standing outside, no one was waiting around me. Oh my gosh. Okay, well that's okay, Bart, we can do it. And Mark's another here, and they just didn't hear. And you know what? I didn't ask them to. Somebody just came in and started helping with the shoe boxes. And we went to the Clarksburg Mission and served. Dinner place was full. We expected that it would be because it was cold out. Lots of people living in the Clarksburg Mission. And you think there's a waiting list at Fairfield Inn and hotels around because of oil and gas. There's really a waiting list at the Clarksburg Mission. And I try to go and be happy and joyful and share God's love, but I just get real discouraged sometimes, especially when they call for the meal, they ask for volunteers, and then after that, the first people get to eat are the veterans. There were nine veterans at the Clarksburg Mission that are living there. That makes me really sad. It makes me really sad that anybody is homeless and doesn't have food, but veterans who have served our country and fought and have some kind of health issue probably, or a mental instability, and they're at the Clarksburg Mission. I really get upset about that. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to serve. And several of the boys, it was all guys, wasn't it? Bart and I and four boys. And what loving, kind spirits they had. And just serving the food and sharing the food. And there were two people that said, "Hey, Mr. Newsom," I guess I had them in school, I had no clue who they were. And they do that thing. "Well, don't you remember me?" "Yeah." "Not really." "Yeah, I remember." And then you're like, "What's my name?" "Oh, remind me." "What's your name?" But thankful for those opportunities that God gives us to share His love and to remind people that regardless of your circumstance, regardless of where you're sleeping tonight, that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. Not everybody understands that. When you're going through a difficult time and living on the street, it's hard to understand that. But God can use us to remind people of that and to share that. So this morning, my message, more than a shoebox. Yesterday I came in here and I said, "Wow, that's a lot of shoeboxes." And, I'm thinking about all these things that we're involved in. We've been talking about kingdom work. His kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And thinking about our kingdom work on earth. This is where we are right now. We're doing God's work right here on earth. Just as Jesus came to do God's work right here on earth, showing compassion to the world and being welcoming to all people, regardless of their status, condition, or where they came from, or what they smelled like. Okay? He was welcoming. So in doing our kingdom work, we're to be welcoming and compassionate and loving and kind to all people. And that's what God calls us to do. And we keep talking about, what is God's will for me? Well, sharing that and being like Jesus. And in the scripture today, I believe it's one of those parts too about loving everyone regardless. So when we think about God's love, when we think about our kingdom work, it's more than a meal at the Clarksburg Mission, isn't it? It's more than a shoebox. It's more than a Thanksgiving dinner. It's more than an angel love gift. It's more than a spaghetti dinner across the street to help kids learn about Jesus. It's about God's love. And this whole book that we read is about God's love and His sacrifice. And so we think about these shoeboxes and all these ministries that we're doing. If we're packing it and doing it and involving love, it's going to be successful, right? It's going to fulfill its purpose. Now, if you're to build this shoebox, well, then we're going to take that shoebox and put it in the office, okay? And we're going to anoint it, okay? Because that shoebox is void and no good, right? Now, when I came in on Thursday, this packing party, boy, it was very organized and well-run, and it was top-notch. I mean, Jenny knows what she's doing. She's done lots of these packing parties, and they all ended up here. Well, we had a packing party in the library on Friday, a bunch of middle school kids, and it didn't look anything like this. There were boxes everywhere, there was stuff everywhere. We had way too much stuff. But there was cookies all over the place. It was a packing party. Those kids were like, oh, what are we going to eat? What's our snack? We do have a snack. But once we understood, and I gave this pep talk about what we're doing and why we're doing it, it all came together at the end, and their shoeboxes are right there. And I said, this is more, you guys, this isn't really about a shoebox. It's about caring for other people. And these kids were packed the shoeboxes, and they were full. But these kids in middle school were more concerned about writing a note. You ought to see some of the notes they came up with, and the letters about how you're loved and you're special. And I was really impressed with that. Because it's more than a shoebox. It's about what's packed into it and what comes out of it. And to think about it, I've reminded you of this. If you're packing a shoebox, or if you're going to go serve meals at the Clarksburg Mission, or you're going to do Angel Love Gifts, or you're going to go support Young Life and Wildlife, do it with cheerful heart. Because that's what God requires. Making a joyful noise and doing all this in love. And so this morning, just reminding us that our kingdom work is more than a shoebox and all these ministries that we're involved in. Yeah, this is our kingdom work, and we're all involved in our ministry. The church has lots of ministry, but are we doing it for all the right reasons and fulfilling all the correct purposes? So we're going to look at chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. It said, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling what is good. Well, that's, as Christians, what we are to do is to realize that God is good, he's faithful, and he's loving, because God is love. So are we sincere about what we're doing? You know, walking around and serving the Lord and telling others about Jesus, are we sincere about that? And all these ministries in our kingdom work, right? Whatever that might be. A lot of you are doing your own kind of kingdom work. Sitting with people and visiting neighbors. But are you doing that with a sincere, loving heart? And I believe that Jesus certainly was sincere and loving. And I'm certain there were times he was frustrated and even to the point irritated with people. We all get like that. I mean, that's just the reality. If you work with people, and I work with people, I do get frustrated sometimes and irritated. Not necessarily with the individual, but just how people are. Sometimes we don't always listen and do as they're told, right? Wonder how God feels when we're not listening and doing what he tells us to. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. I mean, are we doing that? That's the whole root of our kingdom work. That was the whole root of Jesus' journey, was being sincere and devoting to one another and loving each other. Again, regardless of what they look like or where they're coming from. You know, our ministry here on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, you know, is reaching out to kids that have some serious issues. And every Wednesday, when I make my way from here to over there, I'm a little distraught for adult Bible study. Because we have lots of issues and kids that are coming in off the street and dealing with some real life issues that I just couldn't imagine doing up at that age. And so why they come to life? I believe they sense something here that's sincere. That these people really do love me. My mom says she loves me, but she's never home. My dad says he loves me, but he's always drunk. But when I come to the Lighthouse, love is sincere, and they love me, and even though I may have not taken a bath for 2 days, and can't find a deodorant, right? These people love me here, and my needs are met, and I believe seeds are being sown. That's what Jesus did, right? Never lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, realizing that we're serving the Lord. And sometimes when we're doing our kingdom work and no one appreciates what we're doing or feel like no one's responding, then we sometimes feel like we're to give up. But no, we're to be sincere, being devoted to loving one another, and keep serving the Lord, and don't give up. I remember all those years when Twist of Faith would go and sing, and we would, you know, the kids would sing and present a message. I always get up and give an altar call, and we'd be like, well, no one came forward. No one asked for prayer. I mean, gosh, are we doing this for all the right reasons? But what would happen is after we leave, we're on our way out to the van, someone would come running up to us, or people would call and say, you know, that message through music and what you said caused our youth group to really get a fire behind them and get serious about Jesus. And so sometimes we get discouraged when we think people aren't responding according to whatever that might mean, and we want to give up. But God says, continue to be sincere, and be faithful, and love each other. And in verse 12, it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Are we joyful in hope always, regardless of what's happening right now at this moment, or what's about to happen? Are we faithful to him in prayer? Man, and that's what I keep saying. If someone says you're going to pray, that you says, hey, will you pray for me? You better do it right then. I'm serious. That is serious stuff. People come at me, oh, thank you for your prayers. Well, God heard us because we were faithful, right? Be faithful in prayer and always joyful, right? Shout to the Lord with joy. I mean, always, right? I mean, I can still shout to the Lord with a kidney stone, right? I mean, I've done that before. I mean, I could shout to the Lord in the hospital with a bowel blockage and all kinds of serious stuff. We can all do that, right? Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. You see, we get upset when people don't respond the way we want to, and and we try to help people change their behavior sometimes. It's interesting. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but when you're around someone and they say a word they shouldn't, they're like, boom, it's a pastor. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I've heard people cuss before, right? And so, and bless those who persecute you and don't understand you. This is our kingdom. It all goes back to what? The very first verse that I read. Love. All these things, right? Being joyful, being in hope always, being faithful, loving one another, and blessing everyone, right? I mean, if you're sending a shoebox, it's going to bless somebody, right? If you're preparing a meal, it's going to bless someone. Someone called the other day to the church about the Thanksgiving dinner and said, hey, I need another Thanksgiving meal this year, and I was hoping this year I'd be in a better place and wouldn't need that. But I'm just really thankful you guys are still doing it. Are you still doing that? Well, yeah. We're going to keep doing it. And she says, someday we'll be able to help you. I said, well, and if you don't, it's okay. So, right? Continue doing what you're doing, right? Live in harmony, it says. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And I continue to say that's what the church is about. When I ask you to come up and pray with people, if people are rejoicing and going through a joyful moment, we should do that with them. If people are mourning, we should do that with them. That's why we do funeral dinners and here in our church. When people are going through a difficult time, we need to pray with them. That's exactly what that means. The church being the church is verse 15. Live in harmony with one another. Well, sometimes we have a hard time doing that in our own house, right? But in the church, as Christians, the Christian community, brothers and sisters in Christ should be living together and working together. This is all kingdom work. Doing all this together. Do not be conceited, right? Do not be proud. In verse 17, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Especially when we're chilling. Someone punches you, you want to punch them back, right? Someone hurts you, you want to hurt them back. Someone does that to your kids, that's a natural reaction. You can go to jail for that. You know, if you beat up a little 12-year-old, you're 48. That's just not cool, right? Okay? But sometimes we feel that way. I mean, I'll be honest with you. We work with kids all the time. Like, man, someone just needs to pop her in the face or pop them in the gut one good time. And this nonsense they call bullying within. You know what I mean? Sometimes I just want to whisper that in some kid's ear at school and say, I didn't see a thing. So that's just a natural reaction that we want to hurt people who hurt us or hurt our loved ones. But God says, don't you do that. You bless them and love them, and I'll take care of them. I believe you guys. God take care of all that. You just do what's right in the eyes of everyone, it says. But more importantly, are we doing what's right in the eyes of God? Our kingdom work. God's watching our kingdom work. Live at peace. Isn't that interesting? It says, if it's possible, live at peace with everyone. Unfortunately, in some places in the world, they're working on that for years, haven't they? But more importantly, are you at peace with God, your creator, the one who has spiritually and wonderfully made you? Are you at peace with him? And right here again, it says, don't take revenge. Let God do that, right? If someone hurts you and comes against you, let God do that. God says he'll take care of everything, right? It's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord, Romans 12, 19. And so verse 20, it says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. If anyone is hungry or thirsty, we're to meet a need. And again, I continue to remind you, that's what Jesus did first and foremost in his journey. And his kingdom work was he met needs first before he set them down on the mountain and talked to them, right? Or he healed them. He met needs. He healed them and met their needs before he preached at them or talked to them and was teaching. That's what he did. And it says, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on it. And I researched that. And this whole idea of burning coals, that was an Egyptian tradition. And it was actually an act of public repentance. And you had to walk around with this pan of burning charcoal on your head. I thought, well, you know what? We can't paddle anymore. Maybe we should try that. Did you see that bunch of middle school kids walking around with burning coals on their head? Threatening my mind. But that was a public, I mean, back then, I mean, that was an act of public repentance. And it could have been humiliation, right? But just do what God asks you to do. Because regardless of what we do, God's watching us. He's creating our kingdom work. And he said, you just do what you're supposed to do. What is that? Love. Treat everyone with brotherly love. And I'll take care of all, I'll take care of everything else. And it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, right? Doing the right thing. Packing a shoebox is doing the right thing. Or donating to that cause is doing the right thing. Going to the Clarksburg Mission to serve a meal is doing the right thing, right? Helping with the Thanksgiving dinner. Packing an angel love box, that's doing good, right? That's love. It says right here, love must be sincere, whatever you're doing. You know, this past week was World Kindness Week. World Kindness Week. World Kindness Day, I think, was Tuesday. And that's one of the things I've been trying to help kids understand about being kind. You know, as Christians, it should be Kindness Day every day. Wouldn't it be great if everybody celebrated Kindness Day every day, were nicer and kinder to each other? Whether you were a Christian or not, whether you believed in Jesus and went to church or not, if people were just nice and kind to one another. And see, as the church, this is where that is to start, right? And so again, we think about these ministries in the church. And we're going to worry out, won't they? We don't expect everybody to do everything. Some of you do, right? And I try to be involved in everything. Love is sincere. Is your love sincere this morning? And I believe when God sent his son Jesus, and Jesus went all the way to Mount Calvary, had his cross mounted to his back, and he was bleeding profusely, I believe he was sincere. I believe he did that because he really cared about you. And he really loved you. And he did that. So, again, let's not be confused that the shoeboxes came from the Baptist church. No, they came from God's love. The community Thanksgiving dinner came from the Baptist church. No, it came from God's love. The angel love gifts, and it wasn't the Baptist church at the Clarksburg Mission. No, it was God working through his people. People are attempting or trying to be sincere and to love one another. So serving the Lord and your kingdom work is more than any of this, what you're physically doing. That's just an avenue for you to share God's love and to bring people together in brotherly love, being sincere, being faithful in prayer, and being sincere in all that you do. Father, we love you. God, we thank you again for the opportunity to come into your house and to shout to you, Lord. And to lift up our praises, for this is the day the Lord hath made. Every day, Lord, is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I pray that this morning, regardless of what comes up this week, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in or the obstacles we face, we'll be reminded, this is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because you have fearfully and wonderfully made me. That's enough to shout for. Clap our hands, whether on beat or not. Give God the glory, because I am fearfully and wonderfully. No matter what comes my way this week, God has a thing for me. He's going to give me all I need. He'll equip me, enable me, and empower me to do his work. I believe that's what you're going to do, God, for all of us. So God, as we continue to do your work, may it be not about us, but all about you. And loving others. So I pray this morning, or is anyone here that's never surrendered their heart to you, never given their life to you, and needs to make that decision, they do it today. Maybe some want to be baptized, or join the church, or start a ministry, or be involved in a ministry. Actually, be a pastor or maybe a missionary, whatever that might be. God, may we, what we do, may we do it with sincerity and love, knowing, God, that you loved us first. You're the creator of all. You're the creator of all things. And God, we love you this morning. God, we just ask that you would continue to guide us, lead us, follow things, and we close our